Welcome to the podcast that opens doors to a world of possibilities, scope of work. Join us as we venture into the dynamic realms of trade jobs and unique career paths. From HVAC masters to construction wizards and innovative entrepreneurs, we've got the stories that prove success doesn't always require a college degree.
Get ready to explore the exciting landscape of certifications, skills, and success beyond the classroom. This is The Scope of Work.
Okay, well, welcome back to The Scope of Work. I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Justin. And we are here today with Clint and Carolyn Ray, owners of North Shore's premier pool company, The Pool Guy. Welcome, you guys.
Hi. Okay, thank you. Glad to be here.
We are really excited to have you guys on. So it kind of makes it a little bit easier. This is our first real official interview, but we know Clint and Carolyn personally, so it makes it a little bit more fun. So our middle son, Pax, and their oldest son, Emmett, have played on the same basketball team for a couple of years, mm-hmm. and Clint has been one of Paxton's coaches, so it's kind of worked out.
Which I'm sure was a great experience for Clint.
Learning experience.
So, but we're really excited to have you guys. So tell us a little bit about yourselves. Just give us a little bit of your background and let's go.
Okay, so we've been together forever. Me, my background is really doing hair. I'm a hairdresser first and foremost, really. But yeah, we've got two little kids. We've been on the North Shore 7-8 years. We love what we do. I have kind of stepped away from hair so much to really step into the administrative role with The Pool Guy, which has been fun. It's been exciting. But I still do hair. I love what I do. I can't bring myself to step away from it completely.
I know, but yeah. Because you still do my hair.
Yes, exactly. I can't leave you. So, yeah, we're just raising children, you know, and living life on the North Shore. We love it here, so that's cool.
Yeah, so we got together whenever we were in college, and we had our oldest son, Emmett, at a very early age. So for me, it was like, okay, figure out a way to make an income to support a family. And so initially, you know, I got a job and was working at an electrical supply place and trying to figure out, you know, okay, what do I do next? And then I started cutting grass on the side, like cutting my neighbor's yard with a push mower. And I got to the point where I was like, you know, I'm making $10 an hour at this electrical supply place. If I did 5 yards a day, I could make the same amount of money. And so I went and got a little small business loan and got a zero turn and weed eaters and a trailer and a truck, and I started cutting grass. And that's what I did initially. That was the first job I ever started, you know, the first business I ever started. But I was still young. I was, you know, 20, 22, 23. And until we moved here, so we moved here to get Emmett, like, in a public school system area where we were, wasn't necessarily the best public schools. Whenever I came down here, it was like grasshopper, groundhog, smoke tree landscape. And it was really like, it was so much competition, I really couldn't compete. And a friend of mine came to me and was like, hey, have you ever thought about cleaning pools? And my only experience with servicing pools or cleaning pools at all was this guy who used to cut his grass. Every spring he was like, hey man, will you clean out my pool for me? And it was just a green, like, toxic wasteland of a mess. And I'd just be out there for hours and hours just scooping leaves out nonstop. And I thought to myself, like, that sounds terrible. Like, I do not want to do that. But that's how my pool journey began, as I started working for somebody else. And, you know, that's how we got down here. And that's how the idea of me being in the pool industry began.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So, yeah, Clint, so how long did you work? You know, how long did you do pools before you decided to start your own business?
Okay, so I believe I started in early 2016, whenever I started working for the company. It's A-plus pool service. Henry Smith owns it. And whenever I started, it was me, him, one other guy, and his dad that were working there. And my entire business now is structured based on how he did business. You know, I learned a lot from him. You know, got to give credit where credit's due. And I worked for him for 5 years, I believe. And I kind of hit this plateau, like, kind of peaked out where, like, I'd brought in. So there was just a few when we started. By the time I left, there were 8 or 9 guys, a lot of which I brought in and trained. And he's expanded and went from 150 pools to 500 pools on the North Shore. And so I was just looking at it. And, you know, realistically, I have two kids. We have this house and expenses and life. And I had kind of hit this max of about $60,000 a year that I would really be able to make there. And I started kind of planning, like, okay, so I could, same thing I did with the grass cutting. You know, it's like if I did 20 pools a week, because I was doing 80, 90 pools a week, working for this company, I said, look, if I did 20 pools a week, I can make the same amount of money and just work less. You know, that was the plan initially. It's like, you know, have more time for my family, work less, still make good money, but not have so much of the stress. So that was my initial brain idea. And so we started this business in 2020 in February, which I don't know if y'all remember that time period.
It was a great time to start a business.
Well, actually for us, it was.
Probably so.
So, you know, it would have been a really bad time to like open a gym.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, it would have been a great time to start like a Uber Eats. But mm-hmm. So COVID happened. Everyone's at home. You know, we see that people tend to let their pools go in the wintertime and want to get it back up and running for the spring. So that's whenever everyone's sitting at home and looking out at their pool and saying, we got to get somebody to come out here and take care of this. Well, the influx of business for not just us, but the entire pool industry on the North Shore and probably across the country was just immense, to where we were able to pick up the rollover stuff that nobody wanted. You know, in the very beginning, it was like, hey, yeah, above ground pools, I'll take that. Look, you got a liner pool and it's floating up. Look, I'll keep it clear. You know, just taking anything and everything that we could just to build up like a base route, you know, for myself.
Well, let me ask you this. So tell me a little bit about, like, so you said when you started your lawn care business that you took out a loan, did you kind of do the same structure when you started Pool Guy? Did you need as much equipment? Run me through a little bit about that part of it. Cause I know now you've got trucks, because I see them, and we're going to get into how cool your branding is in a little bit too. Okay. But I see your trucks on the road, so I know that this business has grown quite a bit. So if you could run me through a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, too. So with the lawn care, it was like 10 grand just to get all the basic equipment, and I pretty much ran it myself and had a guy that was living with me at the time, like working for me. And so there wasn't a ton of overhead except for just the gas to get us around. But also, I wasn't quite as driven and motivated at the time, and so I really just wanted to like make enough money so I could like pay my rent and party on the weekends. You know, that's where I was at in life at the time. Now so the initial plan was to build up as much as I possibly could as quickly as possible and do anything I can myself. And in the beginning, I was a perfectionist and I was very controlling, and you know, I wanted everything to be exactly right. I was afraid of failure, you know, just the typical starting business, afraid of rejection, afraid of failure. And so we got, instead of a tent, we got a $40,000 loan. That's what we took out. And that paid for a truck, the initial chemicals to get going, branding, hoodies, little note cards to hang on people's houses, business cards, you know, all the things, the wrap on the side of the truck. The equipment side of it really wasn't that big of an expense, maybe $5,000 for all the poles, nets, the automated vacuums, the hoses, and then chemicals. Like your initial first batch of chemicals is a couple grand. And as many pools as I was doing at the time, which was like five, that lasted me a little while. But I just went out and every single day, sun up to sundown, it wasn't like, okay, well, I don't have anything to do today. I'm just going to hang out. I'm going out and I'm Google Earthing, you know, maps of neighborhoods with pools in the backyard and just driving by and knocking on the door and handing cards and, you know, taking calls, running here, going, anything I could get. I was just, you know, I was a go-getter. And I looked up and it was, so we started in February. By May, I had pretty much a full 40, 50 pool route that we had built up. And I was like, okay, well, let's figure out how to streamline this. And without going into the next stage of it, just trying to figure out, okay, do I need to hire someone to help out? Do I need to bring her on to the business to do like the work phone, the administration? It all happened very quickly. But in the beginning, it was I'll take anything. Once we got to a certain point where the business was self-sustained with the customers we had, we were able to kind of pick and choose the work that we wanted to do. We were able to cut down our route instead of doing a pool in Slidell and then driving to a pool in Folsom and then hitting one in Hammond. We were kind of able to trim it down to just our, you know, our niche area.
Yeah.
Which has helped a lot for you know, time. I mean, there's only so much time in the day. How much can you get done?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like that's the plight of just about every small business owner is trying to figure out the balance of how much work you can take on. Because, I mean, obviously the sky's the limit with a small business. You can do it how you want to do it. But sometimes, like, knowing, like, when to pull back and not, you know, because, I mean, like you said earlier, like, you want to have free time to be with your kids. Like, we said the same thing, you know, and it's like we just add work to ourselves a lot of times. So,
and being your own boss is it sounds amazing, and it is, but also there are no days off. Like, if something happens on a Sunday that's crucial, we got to deal with it. When we go on vacation, we have to, like, really get our ducks in a row before we go. But it's rewarding. Like he said, he was hitting a plateau with that previous company, and it really, I mean, the sky's the limit, like you said. Being our own boss is cool, but it's with great power comes great responsibility, you know?
Yes.
And going back to your initial question about the, you know, the money that we got in the beginning to start the business, that was more of like, okay, and this is what all I need. And then I need to have money there to float us to actually, like, live off of in case we don't pick up as quickly as possible. Mm. What it ended up turning into is reinvestment money. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so anything left over, it's like, okay, well, let's buy a second truck. Okay, well, let's get a second, you know, whole set of equipment for a second guy to go. Well, let's get a shop. So instead of me hand hauling 40-pound bags of salt to my backyard and put it in my shed, let's get somewhere we can put it and get delivery shipments. You know, there's a minimum on delivery. So, okay, well, let's get a few $1,000 worth of chemicals and put it in this shop. You know, and all the everything that we have in the business still to this day is a constant reinvestment, where as time went by, it's like, okay, now we need workmen's comp. Okay, our general liability went up. Okay, it's always something that we have to be prepared to fork out as overhead of being a small business owner. But it's, as long as it's there, it's okay. You know, it's if you look up and it's not there anymore and it's like, okay, now we're in trouble.
Yeah. So I do want to explore that a little bit more. So you went through the first 3 or 4 months, grew super quick. Sounds like you're like, okay, now I have the luxury of cutting back and taking what I really want instead of just anything, but then things keep going from there. So at what point did you know, okay, this is beyond just me. I've got to now take on the responsibility of actually hiring people. So walk me through, like, because I know that's got to be scary. Like, people are actually going to report to me as a boss and I have to pay them.
Right.
You know, yeah. So just that whole process of, like, when did you know that that was time?
So what expedited the process for us, I'm saying, we needed some help. It was that we started doing work for a builder that summer, the summer of 2020. And essentially we'd come in and help him. So we'd pull the lights and set up the equipment on his new builds. And then we'd do the startup on the plaster, which is like a 28-day chemical procedure on brand new plaster. And then we would pick up service on the pool. So that was a lot of me personally being involved on something other than just cleaning our pools. And I knew that if I wanted to still maintain that business relationship at a high efficiency, I would have to have someone just doing my normal maintenance. And, you know, that's a double-edged sword, hiring people. It really is, because, I mean, we were just talking about it this morning as we were reflecting and, you know, about before we came in here. It's like we went through a lot of subpar guys before we found one good one. Mm-hmm. And then once we found one good one, and I'm not talking about that first year. I'm talking like the third year. before we found when Ida happened, I found a guy that was stable enough. And I'm sure, you know, you're going to ask kind of what to look for in an employee, but it was probably an entire year of hiring, training, firing, hiring, training, and firing. And as a business owner, as a small business owner, you have 65, 75 pools, and you're trying to do this work for this builder, and you're trying to, you know, answer the phones and trying to, like, keep that same level of, like, finger grip control that I want on the company. And the guy quits. Well, what do?
You hire out of desperation, which is not good.
Either that or, I mean, until we found someone, I'm out there sun up to sundown, 7 days a week, managing it and maintaining it and doing everything that needs to be done myself to keep it afloat. You know, there's a lot of time, and that's where I reflect back to the beginning where, oh, I just want to just do 20 pools so I can have time for my family. Well, I look up and here I am and I have no time for anybody.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times where I looked up and it's like, did I do the right thing? You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. We were making good money, especially when it was just me and there was no employees to pay. Like, the percentage of income to profit was very high. So it showed, you know, it reflected. But at the same time, you know, at what cost?
Right. And I think that's a hard thing because, you know, we own a small business and it's grown exponentially over the last year. And, you know, recently one of the kids wanted me to go to a field trip, and but it was like a short week. They were going on holiday like the next week, and like trying to fit it all in. And I remember being so frustrated and being like, this is why I work for myself, because I want to be able to go to these things. But like then having to also say no sometimes to stuff, like I think that that's a frustrating place to be. Yeah. So I would love to know more too about how you have transitioned and your position. Like I know in the beginning you were cleaning the pools and doing everything yourself. Kind of where has that transitioned to you being? Where do you kind of operate your business from now? And also like, Caroline, kind of when did you get kind of like looped in and really became more of an employee, well, partner of the business, but putting more of your time into the business instead of hair?
So to circle back to the transition of where I am now, like any transition has its ups and downs, you know, it has its struggles. So in the beginning where I'm doing every single pool, well, the customers that I brought on that are used to the owner being out there cleaning their pool, it was difficult to send a new guy and say, hey, this is going to be the guy cleaning your pool. A lot of, you know, I couldn't decide if the guys were just really bad or these people were just being nitpicky because it wasn't me. And it was a mixture of both.
People really get connected to their pool tech.
Yeah.
So, more than I ever knew.
So now I've just gotten to the point now where it's like, y'all are talking about like, okay, well, Ruby's got a party at school or, you know, like basketball practice or, you know, being able to be active and be a coach with my kids' extracurriculars. I've just now gotten to a point now where it's like, okay, my day consists of, if I have a big job to do, I take a helper with me and usually do that Monday. And then all the calls that come in, oh, I've got a leak, oh, I've got a light out, oh, my heater's not working. All those calls that we get throughout the weekend and then Monday and Tuesday, those just go on my list for the week. And if it's something I can fix on the spot and we can get approval for it, I just go ahead and do it when I get there, or I have to get out there, diagnose the problem and send them a price. You know, that's all I'm doing in a week's period. Like 2 weeks ago, though, we had a guy go out, have a baby. And so, you know, push came to shove, he's out for a week. I clean pools all week. You know, I still reserve that right. You know, and that's one thing that I can say about myself, that at any point in time until I can't walk anymore, if the call of duty comes, I will be able to step up to it, you know, to cover for the guys. But so, yeah, so my day-to-day now consists of more of me communicating with her. She is... and I'll get to her in just a second as to when she started, but it's more of communicating with her, trying to get pricing, scheduling, things set up, and then I communicate with the employees. They call me when they're having a pool issue. We can kind of diagnose it over the phone. If not, they'll tell me what's going on, where it's at, and I'll put it on my list to go check it out. She deals with more of the customer. So it was probably right around that first winter time of 2020. And I remember it was our first winter, and I was like, Caroline, I really need your help. We're super busy. If you quit doing hair and you come work for me, I'll give you X amount of dollars a week. Like that was my offer.
My
to
eyes
her.
Lit up.
Yeah. So she was like, say no more, fam.
Yeah.
And then that was our first winter. And
that was a doozy.
Yeah. I don't know if you, I mean, anybody that's in the landscaping pool, I'm sure AC, air conditioning business, is that wintertime can get tough.
You have to be prepared.
We went through December. Oh yeah, it's all good. We got rollover. January comes, by February, taxes are due, general liabilities due, you know, all that comes up. The income isn't coming in, but you're still having to buy chemicals and stuff to prepare. And it's like, dude, it got to that first winter, and still pretty much every winter, it can get scary, you know, looking at the income versus the outgoing. So I hired her on with this promise of X amount of dollars. Well, by the time February came around, she was making $300 a week. That's all I could afford to pay.
Yeah.
You know, and so we had a learning experience from that. But also in the same time period, she has a love for what she does doing hair. You know, we talked about it. It allows her to tap into her artistic side, her creative side. And so she missed it. And so what she's been doing now, and for a while, it's just going in and working as desired.
Appointment only, pretty much.
Yeah, by appointment only, but still pretty much doing the pool guy phone and answering that as a full-time job.
It's a full-time job.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that. Like you kind of transitioning from that, I have my own thing over here, and then now I'm going to be working with my husband, and I'm doing this whole customer service thing. Like, kind of walk us through, like, what that was like for you and, you know, the balance you have today, like how you're balancing the two things that you really love today.
So it was, I'm still learning every day, you know. So went to beauty school, did hair. He started this business, and it's like, I don't know anything about taxes. I don't know anything. Like, I had a pretty good idea on, like, how to speak to people professionally, how to type up a nice email. I pride myself on that sort of stuff, but I didn't know anything about swimming pools. I mean, that was the whole thing. People would call, and I'm like, what's a booster pump? And now I know, you know? So it was a huge, huge learning opportunity, really. So in the beginning, it almost felt counterproductive, because every time someone would call me, I would have to turn around and just call Clint. And I'm like, oh, it feels like I'm not doing a good job. Like, they call me, I have to call you and then call them back. It feels silly, you know? But looking back, it just had to be that way for a while. And now I can pretty well handle just about everything aside from when it comes, you know, he's the one that has the knowledge of repairing things. Truly, like, what this, so if someone calls, I have to get them to send me a picture. What type of pump is it? And I will immediately send it to him, because I could call the supply house, but I still, when it comes to, like, factual, like, things that cost money, I'm like, I don't want to, like, misquote this person or call in the wrong part, you know? So I still call him for that, because there's so many different things. There's so many different horsepowers and this and that. And it's like, I'm just going to send you this photo and you call the supply house and then I'll call them back. But yeah, I love it. The balance is still tough. I refuse to, like, let go of the control. He's like, we could call someone else to, like, help. And I'm like, no, it's my job. I don't know why I'm so that way, but, and that's what we've talked about, like, growing, like, one day getting a manager. I don't know how I'm going to handle it, because I'm so funny about that work phone. Like, no, it's just, I don't know. It's our business, you know? But yeah, everything has gotten, I've gotten it down pat. In the beginning, I would take customers very personally. Like, there was a man that was mean to me one time, and I, like, still remember him, you know? But these days, you just have to let things roll. And I've had to really practice customer service. Like, the customer's always right. You know, maybe not truly, but we have to give them that courtesy. Mm-hmm. And that was a balance too of someone calling with a complaint or something, and me not throwing my guys under the bus, but also not completely disagreeing with the customer. It's like this balance of, I hear you, we will do whatever we can, but I'm also, in the beginning, I said something like, oh, he's new. And Clint's like, that's, you know, then they're going to be like, you sent a new guy to my house. And so you have to watch how you speak to customers. But I think now we've got a pretty good morale with our customers. You know, some are funnier than others, but we have a pretty good thing going. And our guys, that's the thing too. We finally now have a pretty solid group of guys. They really are. In the beginning, like I said, we were frazzled. We would hire out of desperation. Like, we just need someone to do some pools. And that's just not going to get you the results you want. You've got to find someone that cares about their job, enjoys their job, and we have a professional but a relationship with. Like, we love our guys. We have a group chat that goes all the time. I think they truly believe they can call us. They do more calling Clint. I think they think that I'm the like the meaner one. Like, they meet on Mondays at the shop to get all their chemicals, and I've only had to go up there like 2 times, but when they see my car pull up, they're all, Clint tells me after the fact, he's like, yeah, the guys were like, oh gosh, here she goes. Yes. I'm like, guys, I'm a really cool boss. But it is me that has to come in and kind of lay the hammer down every now and then. But I try to not do that too much. I try to, if I, like, a big time sandwich technique with my guys, like, you're doing great. you really need to tighten up, but also like, I'm so glad you're here. You
know, like, that is a big parenting methodology for us. Yes. Too, is we do the sandwich method. So yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. That's like, perfect.
I don't want to put them in a place where they're scared to call me, but I also need to remind them every now and then, like, hey, you guys, you got to watch what you're doing, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, I love that.
Well, great. So I feel like we've got a good handle on, you know, where you guys started, where you are now. But I'm curious, where do you guys see this going? Like, what's the next step? What's the growth plan?
So the whole way through this, it's really just been playing it by ear. We want to pick up quality accounts and we want to have quality guys. I know from experience that I'm not going to just pick up pools without knowing that I have a good guy to cover them, a good employee on the route to handle them. So we just hired another guy. We've been training him since whenever that freeze was. We started him like that week. And we're training next, like March, right after March 1st, he'll start. So the plan is for springtime every year. Springtime is whenever you get the influx of calls, is to have a truck sitting there with a guy in it with ample room on his route to pick up new pools. So each season, that's kind of the plan, is to keep bringing in quality guys and just as the calls come in, keep taking them. Also going to check out the pool. Sometimes you get red flags whenever you're going and look at pools. And not to say that we won't take them, but just charge for our time. Like if we go look at a pool that's from 1985 and it's got leaks in it and it's 14 feet deep and there's three oak trees growing around it, they're not going to get our base minimum price. I'm going to look at it and say, okay, I'm going to need to pay my guy twice as much for this. So I'm going to need to charge twice as much for it. And if they say, you're crazy, well, so be it. You know, I know what we need to charge in order for his time, all of our overhead, you know, to make sure that that's profitable for the company. You know, if there's one pool that takes a guy an hour to do, but he can do three others in 20 minutes and he's charging the same for all four, it doesn't make sense financially and mathematically.
I was going to cut you off. Sorry.
to answer your question, though, is I don't really have a plan for growth. I just have a plan for success.
I like that.
I would like to not get too big for my shoes ever at any point in time. Or if one of these guys were to quit, I could handle it. If I've got a volatile employment situation and two guys leave at the same time, we might could split them up between the other three. But I can't, if I get to a point where everyone's so maxed out, we don't have any new prospects for employees and I can't handle the workload if one leaves, then we're in trouble, mm-hmm. You know? So I would like the growth to be steady, but in a manageable trajectory.
And I think to answer your question another way too is, so far, I think it's like just life is so funny how you truly don't know what next year could bring. Like when we started this, we had plans to do all sorts of things, but our bread and butter was, and it still is, maintaining swimming pools, weekly and biweekly maintenance. That's what keeps us going. If anything else falls through, we have that. But like, I don't think we ever truly planned like for him to meet this builder. And that's another thing. Networking is so important. He is so good at that. We don't treat other pool companies like our competition. We need each other in this world. You can help each other out. If you don't know how to do something, you can refer it to them. It's really important. But as far as like our plans for the future, I think remaining open-minded while also realistic with what we can handle. But it's just the world is our oyster, you know? Like we never thought we would be doing these equipment sets for a builder. And that's that was a huge part of our income the last few years. So just that right there has proven to me, like, who knows what'll pop up next year. We just need to be in a position, like he said, we don't want to max ourselves out where we're scrambling, we're producing poor results. Mm-hmm. That's the thing too. We want to keep everything up and up. We don't want quality. We don't want anything to slack. So it's just a balance. But I think these days, having our guys with their routes and him having more of a freedom to pick and choose, it opens that door for if another builder were to call and say, do y'all want to do ours? He could take it, you know?
Yeah, we do work for three builders right now.
Mm-hmm.
One is much bigger than the other two, where one, I think in 2020 they did 70 pools, and then 2021 they did 50, and then 2022 they did 40. You know, it's just the way that the economy, it's based off the economy. Right now, with interest rates how they are, the building has almost come to a standstill.
Wow.
Mm. So that affects us as well. But like she said, as long as we have our service maintenance routes in place, we're going to be okay.
Awesome. Okay, so I want to get into this a little bit because, so our podcast is really, we want to speak to especially younger people that maybe are not 100% sure about what they want to do post high school. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want to go to college. Maybe they want to try something. Maybe they want to start their own business. So I always want to give like a broad idea of different things that it took to get to this place. So one of the things that I would love to know is, how long do you think that it took you to master the art of caring for a pool to where you got confident when you walked into a situation that you knew the answer of how to clean that pool?
In terms of pool chemistry, and then just, I always tell these guys, every pool is different. You know, it's like its own ecosystem. You can't treat one pool the exact same way as another pool and expect to get the same results. It's just, there's so many variables in terms of bather load, the amount of sun it gets, if they're using their heater, the organic debris, you know, leaves that are around it. There's so many different factors. But I'd say it probably took me a couple of years to really get a handle on it to where I knew my pools. Now, every new pool you pick up is like a whole nother. I mean, you can use your base. Hey, this is what the chemical levels need to be for it to be clean, clear, balanced. You know, you're not having scaling, you're not etching. But as far as mastery of anything, I find that being able to always remain teachable is something that's super important in this industry, because I will never know it all. I can't say that I master anything.
He's pretty close though.
I love that answer. I love people that are very good at their jobs but can still say, I don't know everything. Because that's definitely something that, you know, every now and then I'll have clients that will send me certain things like, hey, I saw this idea for a reel or whatever. And I'm always like, I am always open to feedback because I will never know it all.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And so, but going back to your question about, you know, young people not knowing what they want to do, two of the main pool companies that I move work around with and talk to on a regular basis are both very young guys that pretty much started doing this right out of high school. One of them actually trained with me at A+ while he was still in high school, worked for them for a little while, and then went out on his own. And the other one just went straight from out of high school. I think one's 21 and the other one's 24 right now, and they have very successful businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Now
they're doing great.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't, like, one of them is just still him by himself, but he's happy with that. He enjoys it. Stress-free. You don't have to worry about, you know, all the expenses of owning a business. And the other one, it's him and one other guy. And so, you know, it's possible to go that route.
Are there any, like, certifications or, like, schools, I guess you could go to, for lack of a better word, that, like, in your industry that can kind of help people get started or learn faster?
So as far as getting started, region to region. So I know that California, you're required to be certified as a swimming pool technician. Florida, you're required to be certified as a swimming pool technician. Whenever I first started this, Louisiana was kind of the Wild West with pools. And it's just in the past 2 to 3 years that the construction codes have kind of tightened up to where, you know, like all GFI breakers on the panels. And to say, what do you need to start your business? I see guys all the time with no markings on their trucks, and they're just running around and they're cleaning pools. You know, I don't think that it's anything that you have to do outside of, you know, a business license with the parish and setting up an LLC. And
I would say on my end, I think it wouldn't hurt. Now, you don't, obviously you don't have to do this, because I didn't. Like I said, I went to cosmetology school. I did a couple semesters in college, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. I think it would never hurt to even like some online courses on business, just to like know. Like, we go into our accountant's office and I'm like, I'm glad you know what you're doing, because I have no clue. Just to like kind of get a handle on things, so you're not learning as you go is just a part of it. It's an inevitable part of life. But I think I could have had a leg up if I maybe had done a little more research on my end. But again, you can just always learn as you go. There will be growing pains. That was like our little term for a while. Like, we're just growing. These are growing pains, and it's part of it. But I think, again, being willing to, okay, I messed up maybe. I made someone upset with me, or I made a poor decision. And just like doing better, owning it, being teachable, accepting when you've made a mistake, asking for help. That's a big one too. I still struggle like asking for help, but you have to, especially when you're just new to this, you know?
And I think, and to expound on your question a little more, continuing education in the industry is mm-hmm. huge, because there's constantly new products coming out. There's constantly, you know, like technology updates as far as apps, software, ways to control your pool. And we get that training from the manufacturers themselves. So Pentair, Jandy, Hayward are the big three, and now Aquastar is another big company, but they all offer classes nationwide. So we'll go to Houston and sit down and do like a seminar for, they'll go over how to, on whatever it is that you need to know, how to diagnose the heater, how to program automation, what new things they have coming out, and give you like a little tutorial on what to expect on this new app that they're launching. And so continuing education with equipment is a huge part of our industry, because it's something that will never stop changing. You know, it's just like with cars, you know, oh, next year's model is going to come out and it's going to have a wireless CarPlay in it. You know, it's just the same thing. It's like, okay, what can we, as a manufacturer, what can we do to, especially with EPA standards right now, now it's all LED lighting. You can't get bulbs anymore. They're illegal. It's all going to variable speed pumps. You can't buy a single speed pump over 1 horsepower because it's inefficient. So they're going to go to variable speed. Well, they have programming, and it's just so much that they're adding to it. Within the next 10 years, it's going to be completely different than it is now. So you got to stay on top of that,
yeah,
or else you're going to be left behind.
Right. Gotcha. Exactly. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what makes Pool Guy a great place to work.
I believe that, because I worked for someone else and I was these guys, I have a affinity for them. You know, I know that my most valuable asset as a company is my employees. Without them, we would not be able to operate. Mm-hmm. And I make sure that they know that I know that. You know, we're very appreciative of them. We pay them very well because we want to keep them. We, you know, for Christmas, we really take care of them. Anytime there's ever anything that they need, say your car broke down or your kid's sick or something, we're gonna handle it. Like, don't worry about it. As long as you're showing up and doing your job and taking care of business consistently, we'll do anything for you.
Absolutely.
You know? I love that.
I love, like, that's when anybody calls looking for a job, you know, I explain, or when we are hiring, I'm like, look, the sky is truly the limit. As much, and there's only so many hours in a week, of course, that you can work. But if you're willing and you show an interest and you are consistent, he will do anything for these guys. You know, he won't, we appreciate them so much. And especially when you see them blossom and learn and kind of get a handle on things, it's so fun to watch. Like, wow, he, like, could handle things while we weren't, like, if we went out of town, he could definitely handle things.
Right.
It's super refreshing.
Yeah. To say if we're a good company to work for, I believe that we're still a small business. You know, there's pros and cons to working for us. We don't have a benefit set up for our employees yet. I mean, it's something we'd like to do. So you add that to the, what are our future plans? I'd like mm-hmm. to have some sort of help with health insurance, you know, something that we could offer them, a 401k for working for us, but we're just not there right now. I mean, they are all on W-2s. They're all employees. And so they get taxes taken out through the year and get a big tax return, which I didn't. We were 1099, the company I worked for, and we were liable for our own taxes at the end of the year. So that's one of the things that I initially first said, I want to make sure that we do that right. But as far as, I feel like we're like a family, like a tight-knit family. We're very close. There's not really, like, if something's going on with one of the guys, everyone's kind of aware of it. You know, it's like, and then a lot of the guys are the three that are most recent guys that have been solid. They're all like best friends. And so they compete with each other. And it's mm-hmm. like, how many are you going to do today? And it's like, you know, we got this one guy who's been with us the longest, who has, like she was talking about, has just blossomed. And he had his struggles in the beginning. And we had to let him go on a little hiatus. And I called him, was like, look, I want you as an employee. Will you come back on? And since then, he has been Johnny on the spot. He handles business. He does a ton of work, gets no complaints. And he's like the guiding light for the other two guys to set the example of not only what we expect, but this is how you be successful. And so it's been super, super helpful to have him kind of show, bring the other guys under his wing and kind of so we can all grow together.
Yeah. It's fun.
So let's talk last couple questions. So what, you know, talking about employees, so what are you looking for when you're hiring a new employee? And so, and I found, I feel like you answered the next question already. What makes a good employee? I think you've talked quite a bit about that, but so let's just kind of talk a little bit about specifically like when you're looking to hire, what are some of the traits? Like what are you looking for?
So we took the route with the young guys. We took the route with the young guys. The thing about the young guys is they're really expensive to insure.
Yeah. The younger you are, the higher you're.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I would not have thought about that.
We put all these guys in a truck that, you know, we insure, and they take these trucks home with them. And, you know, they, hey, if you need to go to McDonald's or go pick your kid up from school, it's fine. You know, we give them a gas card. You know, it's pretty much all expense paid vehicle to work out of. So there's a level of trust that you have to have there. So we took the route with the young guys, you know, the 22, the 23, I think the 19 one time.
Oh, yeah, that was.
And
yeah.
We find that unless you have like a kid and a wife and maybe a mortgage or some rent to pay, your drive to get up and show up to work is like significantly decreased. You know, it's like, oh, if I go to work, cool. If not, cool. The guys that we have now have. It, at the very least, rent to pay, a car note, insurance, and a girlfriend at home. That's just one of them. The other ones have children and a mortgage and real life responsibilities. And they're in that. Nathan, when we hired him, I believe he was 27. I think he's 30, 31 now. So they're all in that late 20s to early 30s portion of life where they're not far behind us to where, okay, I got to put my big boy pants on and show up to work if I want to pay my bills, not so I can, like I was when I was cutting grass, not so I can just make enough money to go out and party this weekend. It's okay, what can I do to successfully have a consistent income in order to live a comfortable life? That's what we're looking for.
Well, and so that, you know, the work ethic or just that point in your life, there's that sweet spot where they're old enough to be responsible and need to work and have to get up and do it. But also if you, my experience is, not to say that we wouldn't hire someone older than us, but it becomes a little more egos come into play, a little less teachable. You know, it's just with anything. A hairdresser comes into the salon that's been doing hair for 30 years. You pretty much can't really tell her much. You know what I mean? She's got her thing, and that's cool. That's fine. But we're also running a business, and we have things the way we prefer them. But as far as when someone calls looking for a job, I always ask, okay, so have you worked outside before? How do you handle hot, hot temperatures and being out all day? You know, that's a thing. It's not to be brushed over. I mean, these guys are doing 20-something pulls a day in the sun. So that's a thing. I couldn't work outside all day. I would never. So yeah. I wouldn't be a good candidate for this job. But I think it's also important to say there are women in this field. The company he used to work for has a woman,
a few
women. And I think that's cool. When I first saw my first female pool tech, I'm like, oh, go girl. That's amazing. Because it is a predominantly male field. But you see like on Instagram, there's a Cali pool girl. Is it Cali pool girl? There's a lot. And it's
well, that girl in Lafayette that does the startups for land.
Oh yeah. A girl over there. So I love that. Like it's not just for boys. It's for girls too. I think it's amazing. But can you work outside in that heat? Are you willing to get your hands dirty? I mean, you got to stick your hand in a skimmer basket with spiders at some point in time.
That would be a no for me.
Yes, you know. Right there.
Yeah, so we're looking for guys that have been like doing roofs or swinging weed eaters. Or Nathan, when we hired him, was digging sewage trenches for the municipals of New Orleans Parish. And, you know, it's like, hey, look, this is... not to say it's an easy job, but it's a step up from that. 100%. I mean, you're still outside in the heat, but you get in a truck every 20 to 30 minutes and get some AC on you to go from stop to stop. Another thing I was going to say about new hires is that me personally, I like to take someone who knows nothing and teach them how we do it. Because Like my mom right now is trying to develop this like pool app software, which not to go too much into that, but you can't standardize this industry. You know, right. You can't say this is how it's done across the board, across the entire country, because regionally here is going to be different from Florida or California or New Jersey, even company to company here. If you go and ride with the best guy for a company, he's going to tell you to do things slightly different than the best guy of another company. It's just the way we do things because we've been successful doing it this way. Not to say my way is right or anyone else's way is wrong. It's just this is the way that I train these guys to do it. So it is my own standardization that we're all on the same page and there's not a lot of like differences of opinions on our job site.
Right. Know? Gotcha.
We have one guy that has pool experience who's been doing it just as long as I have. And I was skeptical when I hired him, but he's been a godsend.
He's literally the best.
Yeah, he has been a godsend.
Carl, if you're listening to this, you're the best.
I love it. I love it. Okay, well, we're going to wrap this up. We have a little lightning round. This is just kind of something for fun that we added in. We didn't tell you guys about this before. So I'm going to ask two questions, Caroline, and Justin's going to ask two questions to Clint.
Okay.
So I'm going to go first. My question to you is, what song would be the soundtrack of your life?
Oh my gosh, what song would be the soundtrack of my life? Oh, wow. Oh, my life. Okay, so probably Dreams by the Cranberries.
Oh, I just love that song.
Like, when I was a little girl, me and my sisters like spun around in circles in our new house before we moved the furniture in. And since then, I would love to yodel at any point in time when I could. So I'm all about Dreams by the Cranberries.
Core memories.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay, so question for me, for Clint, is barbecuing or smoky meat?
I don't have a smoker, but it honestly sounds like I would prefer smoking if I had a smoker, so probably barbecue, but a smoker would be nice.
Caroline. Okay. Hey, he's hard to buy for, so this is a great, I'm putting that in my brain bank right now.
There's nothing like a great smoked brisket.
Now
when you figure that out.
I will say that I have a 24-inch round Weber grill that I have laid all the charcoals on the left side, lit, got hot, thrown a rack of ribs on the right side, closed the lid, and walked away for 4 hours. And I came back to it. And I don't know if you call that smoking it, but they were fall off the bone.
Yeah. That sounds so good.
Yeah.
Okay, Caroline, what is your favorite pool color?
Favorite pool?
I guess it would be liner or whatever's on the inside. Oh. What's your favorite look of a pool?
We were literally just talking about that.
That's so funny.
My favorite look is definitely a white or an ivory plaster. And I want nothing but light blues, whites around my tile line. I probably wouldn't do glass tile just because we know they can be a little finicky, but all light colors. Think beach, think white sand, blue water. That's my vibe.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Clint, what is your dream car? If you could have any car.
So whenever I first started, before I started this business, it was always like an AMG GT63, like the four-door and Mercedes GT. And I always said, you know, like one day I'm going to have that car. Since I started this business, of course, you know, coming from not having anything to now I could literally buy any vehicle I pretty much want. That isn't, you know, over $100,000. I've had pretty much every truck that I've ever wanted to have. And I find this is what I find about vehicles is that they're great as soon as you drive them off the lot. Give it 6 months, they're boring, and the notes never go down. So right now I'm driving an old, almost paid off truck right now, and I'm about to go buy another fully paid off truck for $3,000 to fix it up and drive that for a year.
But what's your dream? If you could have any car in the world, under the sun.
Any car in the world under the sun?
I like a Cullinan.
No note either.
It's just yours.
Get me a Bentley.
I'd have to drive a few really expensive exotic sports cars to decide.
Yeah.
A Lambo?
No.
McLaren 765. Yeah, but
like a humble Bugatti or something like that. Bugatti. Yeah. I mean, if no notes involved and I don't have to buy anything, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, well, with all that money, think about how many watches I could buy.
Oh, my gosh.
He's talking my language now. Okay. I'm a watch guy, so
we'll cut it off.
We don't have enough time for that.
All right, guys. So let us give you a chance to plug your business. So tell us where we find you on the World Wide Web, where we find you on social media, and how can we call you?
Okay. Well, obviously, you can call us at our number at 985-502-6768, and you will talk to the most beautiful pool girl, Caroline Ray. And her sweet Southern accent, if it doesn't catch you at first glance, well, our quality of work will.
I like it. Love
little, little bazing there. No, so our Instagram is at poolguy985, and our Facebook is under The Pool Guy North Shore LLC. Trying to do a little better on content.
Here I posted twice yesterday.
Yeah, trying to do a little better on content as of today. But it's like, as I'm working and going, it's like I just forget to take pictures.
That's where I need to step it up.
Yeah. I was like, I should be taking pictures of this, but I just don't have time.
Social media, though, go to the gram at poolguy985.
At poolguy985. We're on there. Check us out.
Okay. Perfect. Well, look, thank you guys for joining us today on this exploration of unconventional careers and trade jobs. If you've been inspired to forge your own path or explore new horizons, remember, success knows no limits.
So make sure to connect with Justin and I on social media so we can continue this conversation, share your stories, and stay updated on the latest of the world of alternative careers. You can find us at the Scope of Work podcast for all of our latest updates.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review if you enjoyed today's episode. Your feedback fuels our mission to showcase the diverse scope of work beyond the ordinary.
Until next time, keep working towards your extraordinary path. Stay inspired, stay curious, and keep redefining success.
This is Justin.
And this is Tiffany.
Signing off. See you next episode.
Thank you for joining us on this exploration of unconventional careers and trade jobs. If you've been inspired to forge your own path or explore new horizons, remember, success knows no limits.
Connect with us on social media to continue the conversation. Share your stories and stay updated on the latest in the world of alternative careers. Find us at the Organized Social Podcast.
Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review if you've enjoyed today's episode. Your feedback fuels our mission to showcase diverse scopes of work beyond the ordinary.
Whether you're tightening bolts, crafting masterpieces, or building empires, remember, your journey matters and the possibilities are endless. This is The Scope of Work, where careers are not just jobs, but adventures waiting to unfold.